Brothers and sisters, turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Psalms. Our Old Testament reading is Psalm 133. That extols the unity and the communion of God's people together. This is God's word. Give your careful attention to its reading. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Now turn with me to the book of Acts. This morning, it will be what is ordinarily called an occasional sermon. I will refer to the context, but we'll just look at one verse from Acts 20, and that'll be verse 32. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for your word, thankful that we have free access to you through Christ, by his name. We are thankful for that union, communion that we have in grace and in glory by virtue of our union with Christ. We're thankful for the bond we have with one another. And now we pray that you would give us understanding as to what the church is in relationship to you, and how precious the church is in your sight as you hold it in your hand, as you protect it and lead it to that place where the fullness of your kingdom with all of its joy, pleasure, and delight will be ours. Bless this time, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how does a minister say goodbye? If you're visiting, and unlike the Apostle Paul, who is saying goodbye for good, at least in this earthly life, to the Ephesian elders, I don't think I'm saying goodbye for good, although in the end, that's in God's hands. I'm leaving for 6 months for sabbatical. But I felt like I just couldn't preach what is scheduled for Ecclesiastes and working through what tends to be, at least in first hearing, more pessimistic insights and proverbs from the book of Ecclesiastes. I just couldn't do that and just say goodbye for the next 6 months. I will be scarce. So how do I say goodbye to a congregation that I love, a congregation that both Hazel and I love? What Paul says here to the Ephesian elders in commending them to God, he also says, I believe, in Acts 14, and it's just a summarization by Luke. I'm sure he did it again and again and again and again. But in Acts 14, he commends the churches to God. Here, the elders, there, the churches. But whatever, when he says goodbye, when he separates and departs from the churches, from these Ephesian elders, what does he do? He commends them to God and to the word of his grace. And this is what I'm doing this morning. Commending you, brothers and sisters, this church, Grace Orthodox Presbyterian Church, commending you as a minister called by Christ, called by this congregation, laboring over 12 years, or about 12 years, commending you to God. Now, what does the Apostle Paul mean? Verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. What is it to commend something or someone to somebody else? To commend something or someone, you are placing that thing or that person in the care of another. You are entrusting something or someone to someone else. You are committing that thing or that individual to the care of another person. When you have children and with your spouse, which I hope you do often, you go out on date night and you have to call a babysitter. What are you doing when you leave and you give the final instructions to the babysitter? You are really entrusting your children to the care of that sitter. You're commending your children unto the sitter, committing them to her, his care, entrusting your children to that individual. I think power of attorney works in a similar kind of way. Often when missionaries leave the country for 3-4 years, they give someone power of attorney. It's a little more abstract. They're usually entrusting a piece of property, perhaps a vehicle or a home. But not only that, they are entrusting the ability to make legal decisions. They're entrusting that ability to someone else, committing that ability to someone else. Possessions, the ability to make decisions. Paul is commending the church to God. Paul is entrusting the church to God. Paul is committing the church to God. Now here's the complication. Usually when you commend, entrust, commit something to someone else, whatever you're committing belongs to you. It's your possession. We left for the mission field. We entrusted our property to an older couple. It was our property. And we commended it to someone else. We entrusted it to someone else. Now here is Paul commending, entrusting, committing the church unto God. Do you see the complication? To whom does the church belong? Does it belong to Paul? It's clear in the text, there's all kinds of evidence. Verse 19, where he refers to himself as serving the Lord. He's the servant. He's the bondservant. He is the one who's been entrusted by God with the church. God, as it were, Christ has commended the church to Paul's care. The church belongs to the Lord. Paul is merely serving the Lord in serving the church. The church is not Paul's possession. You see that again in verse 24. I do not consider my life of any account dear to myself, that I might finish the course, the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, the ministry that I received. He's recounting all that he's done in the Ephesian church in preaching the gospel and edifying the saints, ministering to that church. A ministry that he received from the Lord. The church is not his possession. He'll go on to say in verse 28, as he's charging the Ephesian elders, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The elders don't possess the church. Paul doesn't possess the church. The Holy Spirit possesses the church. To shepherd the church of God, the church of God, not the church of Paul, not the church of the Ephesian elders, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, which he purchased with his own blood. The church belongs to God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, purchased with precious blood, overseen by the Holy Spirit. But now Paul is commending the church as though it were his possession. He's commending the church to God and to the word of his grace. Well, what gives?
Why is he commending? The church was commended to him. And now here he is commending the church, entrusting it, committing it to God. Here's the answer. Well, I'll answer with another question. Sometimes it's a good way to answer a question with a question. Listen. Can the one who is entrusted with something or someone, can the one who is entrusted with something become so attached that when they depart, lovingly, they must commend it back to the original owner? I'll say it again. Can the one who is entrusted with something become so attached, lovingly attached, that when they depart, they must commend it to the original owner? Yes. That's what Paul is doing here. Maybe an illustration will help. I haven't seen The Sound of Music for years and years, so if my memory is a little dim on the storyline, on the plot, I'm sure somebody here will correct me afterwards. Maybe even during the sermon. Huh? Maria. The nun who leaves the nunnery, leaves the convent, becomes the governess, hired to watch these children. How many children? Well, they're 12, whatever, this whole rafterful of children. And I think there's some crisis. There's always complications, right? That's why it's a story, right? There's some complications. And I think she was going to leave at some point, right? But she has fallen so in love with the children. Now, she's the governess. They're not her children. They're just children entrusted to her, committed to her. But she so loves these children that it is like, the language is not used, but certainly the idea is there, she commends these children back to her father who does possess them. He's the father of the children. The father has hired the governess, entrusted his children with the governess. Now the governess, so attached, so loving to the children, that she, upon departing, although we know the storyline, right? Comes back, she marries the father. But so loves the children that in that contemplated separation, she so loves them. What does she do? She just can't say goodbye. She commends the children back to their father. Well, this is what the Apostle Paul is doing. The church belongs to the Lord. The Lord has entrusted the church to Paul. Now Paul is departing, and what does he do? He just doesn't say goodbye. See you later. He does what a minister of the gospel ought to do. Loving the congregation, loving the Ephesians so much, loving these elders, other churches as well. What does he do when he says goodbye, when he's departing? He knows he's going to be separated, and in this earthly life, for the Ephesians, probably for the rest of their earthly life, they won't see each other again. What does he do? He just doesn't say goodbye. Not his possession, but he is so attached to this congregation, can't just say goodbye. What does he do? He commends them back to God who possesses them originally. Commend them to God and to the word of His grace. That word which demonstrates His presence among you, a means of grace where the Lord is not forsaking you. He's not leaving you. People come and go. Ministers come and go. The Lord never comes and goes. And you know that because you have His word. And He raises up other ministers to read this word, to preach this word, to exposit this word. The Lord is always in your midst. Never leave you. Never forsake you. You are His treasured possession. And you are assured of that just by virtue of this word being read and preached in your hearing. Know that. See that. Hear that. God loves you and possesses you. Now there are implications. Paul is entrusting, commending, committing the churches unto God. Are there implications?
Well, clearly, the church is a valuable, precious possession of God, purchased by His blood. Paul knows that. Ephesian elders are being reminded of that. You this morning again and again have been reminded, and that love has been ministered to you in Him, prayer, word, His treasured possession. That's what you are. And He possesses you. You are bought with precious blood. But another implication is that there's a surprising delegation. God so loves you, so treasures you, that what does He do over the centuries? This morning we're going through the early church. He raises up ministers, elders, deacons. He raises up officers for you to minister to you. And of course, it's a surprising delegation, because He doesn't bring angels to minister to you. He brings you people, men, just very much like you, with like passions and struggles. Men who can empathize and sympathize, who are weak and need to depend upon the Lord just like you. A surprising delegation. And that's what Paul is. Treasured possession, surprising delegation. But there's also that personal bond. Paul is just not a professional minister, coming and going, consulting. He's done his work, now he moves on to greener pastures. In fact, quite the opposite. He's moving to his own martyrdom. He so loves the Ephesians, but as he ministers to the churches, as he does his first missionary journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey, he so loves God's people. His epistles, he's always recording how he is thankful to God, to Christ, to the Spirit, for the faith, hope, and love that the Lord has given to His people. Various benefits of the gospel that are outlined. Paul displays his love again and again for the churches. And here he is, and you're going to see, you're going to say goodbye, they'll be on their knees praying, everybody's weeping, because they know they will not see each other's face in this life. What a personal bond. So close, that he knows the church is possessed by God, but he feels such an attachment, a connection, a union, communion with the church, that in saying goodbye, he must, as though the church were his, he knows it's not, as though the church were his because he loves it so, he's going to commend it, entrust it, commit it back to God. Brothers and sisters, this is what I would like to do this morning. It would be foolish for me to compare myself to the Apostle Paul. But there is the love for this congregation. And I just can't say goodbye. And so, Grace Orthodox Presbyterian Church, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for that grace that so works within our hearts, that brings a people together, your people, united to Christ, purchased by His blood, and by that Spirit loving one another. We are thankful for those you raise up to minister. I'm thankful for the elders and the deacons in this congregation. Thankful for Jason Kirkland. We pray, Father, that you would make their ministry effectual over the months, and we would pray, yes, over the years. Bless us as a church. Bless the commending, the entrusting, the committing of this congregation unto you. We pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sari adds her amen there. Let's sing together the Communion of Saints, a hymn of faith, Trinity 358.